What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. So excited to have you guys here today. I got a really cool guest I brought into the studio, to the office here at ClickFunnels HQ. Someone who's been with me for a long time, Steve Larson. Used to be Steven Larson, then went to Steve Larson, but then he put a J in the middle, so Steve J. Larson, but one of my favorite people in this world. And what I'm excited about is we're working on a really cool project about dramatic demonstrations, writing a book about dramatic demonstrations. So I thought for the podcast, let's have him here and we're going to talk about dramatic demonstrations, what they are. But what's cool is during the interview, we did some really cool things. Like we talked about some old dead people like P.T. Barnum, like stuff he did. I talked about Farmer Burns, some old things he was doing to market back in the day. But then we were very specific on like campaigns that we've actually both run, both like dramatic demonstrations to launch YouTube videos, dramatic demonstrations to launch books, dramatic demonstrations to launch courses. Like, so if you have anything you're selling, there's going to be some really cool ideas for you. Like, here's how you can use these dramatic demonstrations to get more noise, more attention. I shared a strategy that I've never shared anywhere except for at my inner circle group. So people pay 50 grand a year. They know about this. Nobody else. I wasn't going to share it, but then, like, I think we're like 40 or 50 minutes in, I like just dropped it. And then, yeah, so now you guys have that as long as you make it through the podcast interview, which would be really cool. So with that said, I hope you guys enjoy this episode of the Marketing Secrets Podcast. Welcome to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. My name is Russell Brunson, and I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur, but with a twist. You see, 50% of my time, I'm the CEO of ClickFunnels, helping over 100,000 brands to grow their companies with funnels. And the other 50% of my time, I'm actually in the trenches using ClickFunnels to grow the startups I believe in. During this podcast, I'll take you behind the scenes and show you how we are bootstrapping ClickFunnels and my other businesses from startup to nine figures and beyond. Welcome to the show. What's up, everybody? This is Russell Brunson. Welcome back to the Marketing Secrets Podcast. Today, I'm with a special guest, and this is probably also going to go on his podcast. So this is a dual podcast. His name is Steve J. Larson. Steve, how are you doing today?
Woo. Excited to be here.
I'm excited to have you here, man. Yeah, this is like when we first moved into this building, you were part of it. You were helping me knock down walls and build the whole thing, and we sat in here for all day and all night for years.
Long time. Well, many hours.
So it's awesome having you back. And do you want to talk real quick? So people listen to mine. Mine's the Marketing Secrets Podcast. Come subscribe to my channel if you're not here. For your podcast, where do people subscribe to get onto yours?
Yeah, just stevejlarson.com and talk all things business and life.
Cool. So I'm excited for this one because we have an event coming up really soon called Dramatic Demonstrations, which is something me and you've been geeking out about for the last 2 or 3 years. And so I thought it'd be fun just to kind of brainstorm and talk about dramatic demonstrations and get people excited about what they are and what they're not. Do we have a link right now where they could register? Yeah. I know we're doing a pre-event for people who want to come watch it ahead of time. Do we have a link for that?
Yeah. DramaticDemonstrations.com.
Plural. Oh, what a great domain. How did we know? So, and we're doing a three-hour pre-event, right?
Yeah. It's like a preview. Like, here's what it's about. Yeah.
So you can go register that for free, which you should. And then come on to the live event if you guys want to come hang out with us. So that's kind of the long term. Anyway, in the short term, over the next hour or so, we're going to talk about dramatic demonstrations. So, I'm trying to think of the chicken and egg. When did we first start talking about this? Do you remember?
Yeah, I remember it was like 2019. The world was about to shut down, and I was doing like a nerd out sesh on the whiteboard. And I was like, I wonder if there's any weird patterns on how P.T. Barnum did these launches, how he used marketing. And as I started listing out all these big famous stories, I was like, oh my gosh, he has like a launch model every time he launched anything. And whether or not it was a product that no one had ever heard of, or there's a product that everyone knew of and he was trying to outposition somebody else. And I remember I was dropping something off at your house. I don't know if you remember this, but we were getting ready for FHL 2020 and I'm walking out. And I was like, hey man, you know that look? You and I have that look.
the crazy look?
Yeah, it's the crazy marketing look. Like, I got to brain dump this to somebody who understands it. And I remember I just vomited on you for like an hour and a half. And FHL happened. And then it was like 6 months later, you're like, that was cool. We should do something. It's kind of where it came from.
So cool. I remember because me, I was reading a Dan Kennedy book, and in one of the chapters, he said that phrase, dramatic demonstrations. I was like, oh, I'm like, that's what this is. Like, it's not like, people talk like, do a product demo, do whatever. It's like, no, it needed to be bigger. And I heard that phrase from Dan Kennedy. I think it's when I bought the domain name. I'm like, I need to buy this. And then we start talking. I was like, this is the thing. We should talk about dramatic demonstrations. And by the way, those who are watching the video version, in my hand, I've got a little mini P.T. Barnum. He's here with us today. This is actually Hallmark made these P.T. Barnum dolls back in 1979. So this doll is older than I am. So this P.T. So, in memory of P.T. Barnum and all the greats we're going to be talking about, he's here with us today. So that's the weird little dude who's sitting there on stage, if you're wondering who he is. So
I'm just going to start buying a bunch of those and like stack them on your car, a little voodoo doll.
P.T. Barnum everywhere. So I think this is fun because I think both you and I, maybe it's because we hung out for so long, for so many years, like we both geek out on people and figures from the past and marketing from the past, right? For me, it really started because of Dan Kennedy. You know, I got in his world. I was doing internet marketing and he was talking about fax machines. And first I was like, what does this have to do with me? And then later I realized what, you know, how I could apply it to my business. And so for me, I started geeking out, looking at old people's stuff, just like you did. And then you've gone kind of the same route. So I don't know where that all came from, but was P.T. Barnum the first one you kind of studied when you were looking deeper, the other people as well?
No, actually it was because of you. I was doing an event early 2019 and it's actually when you keynoted at.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, 600 people, right? And then I remember after the fact, you said to me, you sent me a message and you go, have you ever studied Claude Hopkins? I was like, no, I don't know who that is. And he goes, you said Claude Hopkins? Yeah, you're like, Claude Hopkins is like the original scheme man or offer guy. They used to call him, you know, you told me, yeah, right? They used to call him scheme men.
But that's a cool name. Oh, yeah. Still call him, schemes have got such a negative connotation. But they used to call people scheme men. And that was the person who created the offer in a company was a scheme man.
Yeah.
Such a cool name.
And that's like a weird thing. But like back then, a totally different meaning. And then that's when I started just kind of like peeling back the layers of the onion. And I was like, this is awesome. And then I got into Albert Lasker and just all these different people. And then that's when Barnum came up. It's like, who's this guy? And then there was like,
oh, he's the most prolific of them all.
Yeah. He was like at 10X the amount of volume and content compared to all the others. And so it was just fun to go deep.
What's interesting is, as you know, the very first time we spoke at Funnel Hacking Live about dramatic demonstrations, we talked about P.T. Barnum. And then I think you had the idea originally, like, we should give P.T. Barnum a Two Comma Club Award. So during the event, like the screen opens, and they bring out a big old statue or a big cutout of P.T. Barnum and give an award. But what's interesting is he actually was the second, tell me, you knew this, not, I mean, he's the second millionaire in U.S. history, right?
Yeah, second millionaire in America.
It's crazy. Who was the first one?
He was a drug dealer, actually, which I think is kind of funny.
So, see, yeah,
even
sell
in
drugs,
the 1800s.
Yeah, sell drugs or, yeah, or entertainment. But for me, I think the first one, so when I got in this business, Matt Fury was one of the first people I studied. He's not doing a lot of stuff nowadays, so a lot of people don't know who he is, but he was an amazing marketer. He was in the wrestling space initially, so I started buying his wrestling courses while I was wrestling, not knowing anything about business or anything. And he had this course that came out. It was the Farmer Burns course. It was this old guy from 1919 who was this wrestling coach and stuff. So
it's,
I remember
that guy, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was like, I spent like, it was like $50 for this book, and I'm a high school kid, so I'm like saving up money to buy this Farmer Burns wrestling course in the 1900s because he talked about the old guys, how they were way tougher than us nowadays. And I remember on the sales letter we were selling the course, Matt Fury told this story. And you see it in my gym. I have a pitch. I found an actual picture on eBay. So what Farmer Burns was doing, this is a perfect example of a dramatic demonstration. So he was trying to sell his wrestling course. So he would go to city fairs all across the country, Nebraska, Iowa, whatever. And he'd go to these city fairs and he would set up a hangman's noose. He'd wrap an entire thing around his neck, and then they would pull the floor, and the floor would drop, and they'd do like the 6-inch or however, a 6-foot drop, which would normally break like that's how people die. They people think that strangling, you die from being strangled. Usually it's the drop and it breaks your neck, and that's how you die, and you're laying there hung. So they would do that. He would drop, and his neck was so thick, he'd sit there, and then he'd whistle Yankee Doodle Dandy while the crowd went crazy around him, and then he'd sell the wrestling course. And he went from city to city to city, and that's how he became Farmer Burns, was this crazy dramatic demonstration, right? And it's like, because back then they didn't have TV or internet, anything. It's like, we had to do something amazing to get attention. So that's what these guys were doing. And like nowadays, people are so lazy that they just like put up a Facebook ad and a funnel and hope for the best, right?
Yeah.
I think that's what we're trying to inspire people. It's like, no, like do amazing things to get people's attention. And I'd love for you to talk about some of, I know there's so many cool P.T. Barnum stories, but any of them that you can share that just gets people's wheels in their head spinning, like how people were doing then. And then maybe we can dive into nowadays, like what we're doing.
Yeah, totally. You know, the one that immediately comes to mind is actually the Jenny Lind story. I love the story. There's whole books on this. Jenny Lind was basically America's first female rock star. And, but she was really a nobody in America. And so the story goes that, you know, P.T. Barnum is a little bit later in his career, and he had this reputation with the public of being a hoaxman. And so in efforts to like be seen more professionally, he's like, I'm going to go work with someone who's like big and famous.
Be more classy.
Be more classy. And that's like the whole motivation he had for it, was to just change how the public saw him. So he goes and he's like, oh, I love Jenny Lind, famous opera singer in America. And what if I started partnering with her? And I'm going to have her come to America. I'll sell out her shows. She'll sing her opera, you know, and she'll be a business partner of mine. And so he's psyched about it, goes into a little bit of debt to bring her to America, you know, across the ship. And, as he's like stoked about it, the story goes that he's walking down the street and he's like, you know, woohoo, I'm bringing Jenny Lind to America. Jenny Lind's coming to America. And he's not really getting the reaction he wants. And he's saying it to people as he walks down the street. A doorman goes to open the door And he's like, who's Jenny Lin? And it's at that moment that he realizes, oh my gosh, I'm bringing a nobody. Like, no one knows who this lady is. He's eccentric, you know. He found out he's obviously wealthy, so he has the resources to kind of learn outside of America at that point, and no internet, you know. And so he is, oh my gosh, I have to go figure out how to basically get a no one famous. And the reason I love this story is because entrepreneurs, they, as they go create a brand new offer for behind the scenes, you know, it's kind of like Jenny Lin. No one knows who she is. No one knows that the entrepreneur has made this offer. And P.T. Barnum made her into a somebody as she's on the ship. And so he first gets all these reporters to just create story about her in the news. And the challenge was that no one had ever really seen her before because there's no internet. And so these artists are like practicing pictures of her and they're trying to guess what, no one ever heard her sing either. And, you know, so they start like, hey, here's what she's like, her personality, her dislikes. And so he starts creating this character that no one's ever met, but just the idea of it in people's brains. But then he goes out and he's starting to have like, he auctions tickets to the event. He has a poetic competition and all these poets do these, you know, she's not even to America yet, right? And these poetic competitions, and on the dock where the ship's going to arrive, he asks Jenny Lin swag and bakery goods. They actually ended up coining it Lindomania because, and she didn't know when this was going to happen. So she arrives on the ship and there's such hysteria, like true, legitimate, first time in America hysteria over a celebrity that P.T. Barnum created from someone no one had ever heard of before. 30,000 people show up at the docks and there's like these stories of all these men paying maids to steal hairs from her comb. Like really like so weird creepy stuff. Like
people weird back then too. Huh? Yeah. It's not just nowadays.
No, it's still around. It's just easier with tech, you know? So it's funny because like, this is like the first real story though, where some like celebrity was created out of nothing, out of thin air. And she didn't know this was going to happen. And so she kind of broke up the band after a while, like 90 shows in, just got tired of him. And she couldn't sell any shows. And I think it's one of the biggest parts to it is that as soon as the noise machine ended and Barnum stopped putting stories in the press and he stopped doing competitions and JVs of that day with other opera singers, like the money dried up. Like what a powerful story. And so like at the heart of it, the thing that I take from that is that at the heart, marketers are event throwers, you know, and we might do an event in so many different ways today, but it's like that's really what we do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dramatic administration is key.
Yeah.
And one thing for those who have seen The Greatest Showman and know Jenny Lin through that, they did not ever have an affair like was portrayed in the movie. That was Hollywood trying to ruin his image. Little P.T. Barnum here in my hand. He never did that kind of thing. He was great. So
yeah. In fact, funny if Barnum's wife and Jenny Lin did not get along.
Oh yeah.
I can she imagine called P.T. a cow several times. And like, anyway, they didn't get along.
That's hilarious.
Yeah.
Okay. So I want to talk about then like for people listening to this, because you know, obviously, I mean, you geek out on the stories back then, but everyone's like, well, how does this work for me today? Like, what does that even look like? And so I think it'd be fun just to go back and forth on just stuff we've done in the past. I was just, as you were talking, I think like Funnel Hacking Live is a good example of an offer that we do every single year. And it's for us, the hardest thing we sell. Like, events are hard to sell because you got to get somebody convinced that they got to take time off work and get a ticket and hotels and flights and figure out what to do with the kids and the spouse. Like, it's the hardest thing we sell, right? So for us, it's always like, and people always ask me, how do you sell so many tickets to your event? And I'm like, well, it's because we're selling them, you know, all the time, doing all sorts of stuff throughout the entire year, trying to get excitement and noise. And I remember one of the dramatic demonstrations we decided to do was a telethon.
I was just thinking that
one. Do you
one.
Remember the yeah, old PBS telethons? I remember back in the day watching telethons and like PBS was like, I remember one day, I can't remember who I said to him, like, we should do a telethon. And usually it's Dave would be like, we should totally do a telethon. And yeah. So like in this room that we're in right now, they set up tables and people with phone calls, like phones back there. And like, and Dave had the whole money suit on and we just jumped on. And for, I don't know how many hours.
It was like 4 hours.
Yeah. We just like did Facebook lives, and on the Facebook lives, we're like, call right now. We're doing crazy prizes, giving away stuff. And just, it was chaos. I think we sold, I don't know, a couple, like 100 something tickets that day. We are normal day, myself, 3 or 4 tickets, you know, and it's just this huge thing. And then it was over, but then I still get people today, like, do you remember that telethon you guys did the one time? And it was just a random dramatic demonstration to try to recreate and try to get noise about an offer, right? And you always talk about this, like the goal is like you're creating a hook and the hook is, that's what the dramatic demonstration is, right? Do I explain to people what that is? Because I think a lot of times they, like the telethon wasn't Funnel Hacking Live. It was a hook to get people interested so we could then sell them Funnel Hacking Live. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. It's I think the danger is that some people look at a dramatic demonstration as the same thing as a launch. And it's like, they're not really the same thing. You're still launching you're doing something to get attention, but the real key piece is this little offer hook part. My favorite way to explain it is back to when I was a door-to-door sales guy. And for 2 summers, door-to-door sales, I sold pest control and I sold security, and I was also a telemarketer. And I did it because I heard Kiyosaki once say in college, he's like, if you're going to be an entrepreneur and you haven't learned how to sell, you're never going to be an entrepreneur. So I was like, make it hard, coach. Put me to the toughest place, you know. Door-to-door sales delivered. That sucked. But no, but I remember, though, that there was really, and anyone in sales knows, there's really two parts to the script. And not talking marketing, literally just sales. You know, it's like when I go knock on the door and the opening was like, you know, what's up? Hey, I'm spraying the Jones's house down the street with the truck is here. That's half our cost, so we can do it for 50% off. Is 4 or 5 o'clock okay for you today? You know, we just went straight.
Very assumptive close.
Yeah, straight in. Very assumptive close. What time? And then, but the whole point though, and I mean, very rarely would someone go 5 o'clock, and instead what it would do is smoke out their issues and we'd, you know, address them and get around. But the whole point though is that's really part one of the script, and we were not allowed. In fact, my sales trainer would ask me, did you get to the question? We were never allowed to go to part two of the script where we talk about the offer until we got them to ask one question, which is how much is it? Or tell me more, you know, and that key question right there allowed us to then present the offer. And I think that's the danger a lot of marketers have today is they're assuming when they go do, put out their marketing copy, they're assuming that people are already saying, tell me more. When really, you haven't done part one, which is all this stuff that you're doing. Tell me more? How much is it? And marketers get in trouble because they're like, raise your hand. Come on, get it up there. Yeah, yeah, you want me to talk about my offer? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, raise that hand. Yeah. And then it's like offensive. It's not a collaboration, you know, communication between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. So how's that, like, try to pitch that for people to make sure they understand. So like,
yeah,
give me an example of something you've done.
Yeah.
Specifically that breaking into bag negotiation from the offer and like separating those two things.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember the weight loss thing there. So the scenario is this lady, right, that you wanted to go put out products for and supplements for. She's like, hey, I said, hey, who's the dream customer? And she goes, I want to work with somebody who is trying to lose weight. They once felt like they were the pretty girl. They want to go, you know, and get more. They want to feel better about themselves, be more confident. And they just feel like life has gotten in the way. And so what we had to do is we had to identify a story that wasn't sales material. You know, it was really getting someone to say, tell me more. And so this whole hook was like, hey, you just looked at the last picture of you at a party and asked yourself, is that what I look like? You know, and you've known what it's like to get a man's sneaking glance. How come you don't have that anymore? And now you have this diagnosis you kind of feel secret about. And now maybe a relationship didn't turn out the way you want to. And, you know, and then we basically said, what could you do to get revenge on all these things that have happened in your life only using your body? And we got getyourrevengebody.com, which is when the right person hears that, they go, tell me more. And we're not walking around. It's not a sales script. It's getting someone to just go, wait, what? Just hand raising is all you're really doing. So if you think about that, like for anyone watching or listening, it's like, look at everything you're doing in marketing today and ask yourself, does this get someone to raise their hand? Or am I already asking them for money and we're not even in a relationship yet? That's really a good way to figure out what you're doing.
Yeah. How do we get their attention? How do we get them to stop? How do we get them to want more?
Yeah.
Initially, create the desire. It's interesting because like when I'm thinking about, it's funny, I'm obviously planning Funnel Hacking Live. You know, if you're taking shit, go to funnelhackinglive.com.
Yeah, you're crazy. Go.
But I'm also thinking like what are campaigns we did in the past? And so I always think about like, what's something that's hot right now? So two years ago when NFTs were like the thing, it was like, oh, NFTs are so cool. So I was like, okay, we know this is a thing that people are talking about. Like, how do I use that as a hook to get, like, take something they're already interested in and throw my message out there to like hook upon it and use the existing attention of what's happening, right? So we did that. So we did this whole, it was like nftfhl.com or something. And like, and I remember we took everyone who had ever been to Funnel Hack Live in the past and we had these like bank bags and I put a sales letter with a big old NFT. I can't remember all the stuff on it. And we shipped it to everyone who ever bought it. So it's like 17,000 people have come to Funnel Hack Live in the past. We sent this thing in the mail. They got it. They were able to, you know, read through it. And then it was like, there's a live event coming. This is just for you guys, nobody else. And so, you know, 17,000 people had a private invite to this NFT event. And then we came on and we're talking about NFTs and why they're so cool. I'm like, this year's FHL. Tom Billy's going to come talk about NFTs, which is amazing, show you how you use NFTs inside your funnel. But on top of that, like, we actually created NFTs for all of you guys who've been to Funnel Hack Live. We made an NFT for each year, right? So And then it was cool as I used this whole NFT angle to be able to sit there and like present to people. So it was crazy. We had a couple thousand people on this presentation and they sat there for hours. Well, I went through and I was like, okay, those are in 2015. How many guys are 2015? I'm like, this is the NFT you get if you're here for 2015. I showed them the thing and I was like, let me show you guys a video. So I showed the sales video from 2015 FHL. So they saw that. I came back and I was able to pitch, go get tickets. And I showed the 2017 one and the same thing. So like for 2 hours, they're watching these little video presentations about old events. They got an NFT for being there. So they got nostalgia of like, oh, I remember being there. I remember like I told the story behind each event. And by the time it was done, you know, people sat there for like 90 minutes, me doing like story time with Russell. And they're all like, people are crying. Like, I remember that event. I want to go back. And all these people like rebought tickets afterwards. But it was like creating this desire and a hook and like just something different to like get out there to like re-get their attention. Right.
Yeah.
Cause that's the hardest thing I think nowadays is there's so much, I don't know, just like everyone's so busy and like attention is the key. Right.
Yeah.
And it's the hardest thing to get. And we're competing not just against like the people in their life. You're competing against like some of the greatest people. We're competing against Joe Rogan, the UFC, NFL, NBA, like everyone's fighting for the same eyeballs every second on each other's phones, right? Like that's who we're competing against, is everybody else. It's like, how do you create something that's already got their interest and you're grabbing those people and then bringing them back in?
I was thinking about this a while ago. I was like, so what really, if attention is the goal and there's all these ways to get attention, like what really is the precursor, like the leading indicator to attention? And it's really noise, you know, like we look at the origin of sound and that's true even on a phone or whatever. Like, and you can make noise. I think the problem is that when people hear marketing and they hear the word noise, they think annoying, you know, but you can make positive noise. You can make things that people are excited about.
Music is
noise. Yeah, music is, right? And it reminds me of, do you remember when we did, this is a long time ago, you remember the 24-hour funnel build that we did?
Yeah.
You remember we built like four different companies' funnels in one day?
Because I was like, I just watched like every 24-hour, or from the TV show 24, I'm like, we should do that. That was a fun, insane night. Do you remember Brandon, you guys got to see him, he's behind the camera. He was there filming and editing, and like by like 4 a.m., he was so laughing tired. Uncontrollably because he was so tired and we couldn't stop. I forgot about that.
Remember that?
100%.
We should do that again, but
we should relaunch that episode, like just to show everybody that whole chaos that came from that. That's actually really fun.
Well, I think where people sometimes hear dramatic demonstration, they get a little bit hung up too, is they hear the word dramatic and they're like, I got to do the equivalent of bringing a celebrity from Europe, you know, I got to go and or whatever, but it can just be doing what you do in a really unique way.
Yeah.
You know? Just like building for 24 hours.
Yeah, it's something interesting. It's like, how do you do something that's, we just built funnels for 24 hours or...
And then we went to the movie theater and launched the episode like a few
hours later.
Remember that?
Like, go take a nap real quick and then come back and watch it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
That was so much fun.
That was crazy.
We did a lot of crazy stuff back in the day.
Yeah, we did.
Got to add some more of that chaos back into our lives.
Too civilized.
Yeah. It's so interesting. As a business-to-business marketer, your needs are unique. B2B buying cycles are long and your customers face incredibly complex decisions. Isn't it time you had a marketing platform built specifically for you? LinkedIn Ads empowers marketers with solutions for you and your customers. LinkedIn Ads allows you to build the right relationships, drive results, and reach your customers in a respectful environment. You'll have direct access to and the ability to build relationships with decision makers, a billion members, 180 million senior-level executives, and 10 million C-level executives. You'll be able to drive results with targeting and measurement tools, but specifically for B2B. In technology, LinkedIn generated 2 to 5 times higher return on ad spend than other social media platforms. You'll work with partners who respect the B2B world that you operate in. 79% of B2B content marketers said that LinkedIn produces the best results for paid media. Here at ClickFunnels, we also use LinkedIn ads to get more of our high-end dream customers we can't target anywhere else online. Make B2B marketing everything it can be and get $100 credit on your next campaign. All you got to do is go to linkedin.com/clicks. CLICKS to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/clicks. Terms and conditions may apply. You've already done the hard part. You started your business, taken the leaps to believe in yourself and your vision. But if you want to make more money doing what you love, you need to grow. And to do that, you need a marketing strategy. There's a recent episode in a great new podcast called This is Small Business that talks all about this. You learn how to identify your target audience and where to find them, which marketing channels to focus on so you're making the most out of your budget, and how to use data to set goals. This is Small Business is an original podcast from Amazon and answers so many of these kinds of questions. Whether you're dreaming of starting your own business, looking to take a part-time side hustle full-time, or maybe you're a few years in and you're ready to grow, This is Small Business has practical tips that you can use today. And this show covers all sorts of small business topics. Coming up this month, you'll have a chance to learn how to grow your email list from one of my favorite people on the planet, Jenna Kutcher. And you're also going to get step-by-step guidance for accelerating your business growth with Amy Porterfield, another one of my favorites. So make sure you go and follow the This Is Small Business podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you don't miss out on those fantastic episodes. And a big thanks to This Is Small Business for sponsoring the show. I was thinking about another recent dramatic demonstration we did, and you know about this one, but was with Dan Kennedy, right? Because again, me and you've been talking about so much. So every time we were having a new like offer trying to launch, my next question, like, what's a dramatic demonstration? Like my mind is thinking. So it's like what is something we create big to again get excitement and attention? And what's interesting, those who last year saw Hacking Live, Tim Shields spoke on the late night session about dramatic demonstrations that he does dramatically, right? And he's interesting because he was in his past, he would do courses, right? He did courses about photography and things like that from his house. And then he thought, what if I made this more exciting for people? And so what he would do is he would go find a spot. So like the very first one he did was this, he went to the Grand Canyon, to the side of the Grand Canyon, and he did his live webinar there. Now it's the same webinar, nothing different other than he's like, I'm taking you guys to the side of the Grand Canyon. It's going to be amazing. And he brought Starlink out there and he did the whole thing. And he actually recorded a course out in the Grand Canyon. And then he did a webinar from there showing them the stuff and then like sold them the course. They got the course free when they signed for his continuity program. So he's totally doing the MIFKI, you know, playing the playbook. But it was really, really cool. I had him share it with everybody. But he said it, but it didn't really click. I was like, that's cool. I wish I was a photographer because I could do that. And he showed how he did it in like Banff, Canada, and this other place, like all over the world doing these cool things. But again, I don't know. I'm sure people at home are similar to me. Like, that sounds really cool. I wish I could do that. And I kept saying that. And then he joined the Atlas groups. Then like 3 weeks later, he's here on the stage in Boise and he's showing the whole thing again. I was like, oh, I wish I was a photographer. I could totally do something cool like that. And he said something that got me a little closer to realizing, but I still didn't pay attention. He's like, the key is this. And so this is like for anyone taking notes. He said, the key is this. He's like, you have to take your customers to a place that they wish they could go, but they would never go on their own. And I was like, ooh, that's so cool. Took a note. Still didn't drop, they didn't sit in my head. And they looked at me directly. I was sitting right there. He looked at me. He's like, Russell, you know what I'd do if I was you? I'm like, what? He's like, your people would love to go to Dan Kennedy's basement. You hear, you always talk about it. They've always heard about it. They can't go there. There's no internet there. He's like, you should bring Starlink to Dan Kennedy's basement and go live from there. I was like, oh, I had to be handed me on a silver platter before I got it.
Yeah.
But then I got it. And hopefully like from that process, some of you guys are like, well, now get it. But I'm like, now in my head, I'm like, where else could I be doing these things at, right? I was like, we're supposed to go out to Wise, Virginia, which is Napoleon Hill's home. And we're just going to go do a mastermind there. I'm like, I'm so stupid. Like, I should be doing it from there. Like, last month we were at in Chicago at Earl Nightingale's place. And we were in the archives and all this stuff. And I didn't even think about it. Like, I should have brought it there. Like, it's just, like, if you're doing something anyway, it's like whatever you're doing as a business owner, like, bring them there, right? Like, what are you doing anyway? And let people experience that journey. That's part of like the intrigue. And that's part of it could be another way to look at a hook. You know, it's just a little bit differently. So Dan, we did that. And we ended up, by doing that one dramatic demonstration, we signed up more people in the 15-minute window than we had in like 8 months with paid ads through our traditional funnels. And she's like, the power of it's insane. It wasn't that hard. It was just like, we had to tell the story. Like, the hook's got to be something interesting enough that people are like, wow, I gotta register for that. I got to show up for it. You know, like
yeah.
A typical webinar, you get, you know, whatever, people register and like 15% show up, right?
Yeah.
For Dan Kennedy's basement, it was like, first off, we had way more registrants because like it was over 10,000 registrants because people were like curious, right? And then we had like 70% show up live. So it's just like, it shifts the whole dynamics. Now you're pitching to more people because you created something different than just like, I'm doing a webinar from my office today, you know?
Yeah.
And now we can evergreen that webinar, show it for the rest of our lives. So anyway, I have any fun ideas.
No, I think it's so cool because I really think it's the antidote to like how the world has gotten. I mean, it's more... ads have just gotten crazy, you know? And you actually said something at Inner Circle last week that was like, I thought really cool. It was like the final speech you gave, the final day. And you said, yeah, in the past, like 10 years ago, these masterminds were all about ways we could do unique JVs together. But now we're all talking about ads 24/7. How interesting is it that I almost feel like the scale is tilting the other way? And to me, the concept of dramatic demonstration is the antidote to how much ads world has gone nuts. And there's kind of, I think there's a skill increase here that's going to be necessary for companies because they're going to have to learn how to get attention without just rushing to pay ads. You know what I mean? Which now they got to go more creative and make some more attention. But it's actually easier, faster sales if you do it right than 8 months worth of ads. You yeah. know?
I think it's easier too because I used to think creativity came in like making better ads. That's why we hired the Harmon brothers like 4 times and they're amazing, insane. But each time it's like $500,000 and they make an ad campaign.
Yeah.
Most people can't do that. Instead, it's like, I'm going to go, like, whatever, insert whatever you do. I'm going to go take these guys to, you know, my high school gym where I grew up, and I'm going to show them me shooting baskets at my high school gym. Or so, you know, like, just something new or it's unique. We can tell a story behind it that's like, that becomes interesting and dramatic. Now, I also talk about the very first Funnel Hacking Live when we talked. You requested this to me, like, I want you to show the campaign you did to actually sell the Expert Secrets books. Yeah. Most people saw the funnel, like, here's the funnel of how we launched Expert Secrets, and they thought that's what it was. And it was fun preparing for that because I started going back in time, and I was like, I can't believe how many little mini things we were doing all the way up leading to the big thing. I don't have a list of them all right now, but it was like we had dramatic demonstrations to our affiliates specifically and to our audience, the people who were like following us. Like there were multiple things all coming together. The ads were dramatic demonstrations. Like, there were so many fun things we did. And I don't know, can you remember? I'm trying to remember on top of my head a couple of the things we were doing.
Totally. You know what's interesting? Like it was like 13 things that you did.
All unique, different things. Yeah.
They were crazy. You know,
I think we're going to show at the event too. Like, so those who, if you've registered dramaticdemonstrations.com, we're going to show that presentation. So you actually see like the screenshots and the videos of all the different things as they're happening, which would be kind of fun. But anyway,
I don't think people realize that like launching a book or launching a Harman Brother video or whatever, you know, it's the same thing as launching a product, you know, and really a lot of times the precursor to it. But I mean, you remember this, I remember it was like 2 days before that book came out. You sent me a message and you go, dude, we should probably figure out how to put the funnel together. Because all the marketing energy was in promoting it. There was no funnel yet.
That was a little stressful last 2 days, right? Putting the
I had so much caffeine more than
we
I
should have thought about
life.
That ahead of time. But we focused more on dramatic demonstrations. That's what we're missing. And we just so many, like, even after the launch happened, because you remember, like, we launched the book and then it was like, how do we keep momentum going? And I remember Howard Berg, the world's fastest reader, he had messaged me something. I was like, I have an idea. I'm like, hey, can I fly you to Boise and I want you to read my entire book and we'll time you how fast you can read it and then I'm going to drill you on questions. And that became just a dramatic demonstration. It's like, the world's fastest reader's here in Boise. I gave him the books where he read it. I think he read the whole book in like 4 minutes.
I'm blown away.
Something crazy. And I was like drilling him on questions and he like knew all the answers. And it was like, what's the point of that? Nothing except for to get people excited and like make like intrigue and interesting, like make it, you know what I mean? And it was like,
or like when you sent the book to everybody and they thought they got the real book, but there was nothing in it. There was thousands of people.
Yeah, the book wasn't finished yet. So I was like, how do I get affiliates to be interested about this book? Yeah, so we printed out blank copies. And I had people text me like, bro, this book is so good. And I was like,
there's nothing in it.
It's all blank page. I was just sending you something to like let you know a book is coming, get excited about the whole campaign. But it's like thinking through like all those different things. Like, what are the things we can be doing? I forgot you mentioned the Harman Brothers video. Like, we launched the video, and it wasn't just like, okay, the video's going live on YouTube. It's like what could we do to make this special? And how can we get people talking about it? How can we get the right people talking about it? Like, well, if we want to get influencers to share and promote it, how do we get those people there? Like, well, we got to throw a party. And so it went from throwing a party at Boise State Football Stadium to like, what if we like did a bubble soccer game? It'd be fun. Like, what if we try to set a Guinness Book of World Records? You know, and like, It got chaotic. So sometimes, you know, this is not a good example of how to like do small ones, but it's a good example of big ones. But how do you make it more fun and more exciting? And, you know, to launch a YouTube video, we had, I can't remember, 300 or 400 people in the event. Gary V came in, like all these influencers, like, and everyone together, like talked about and pushed and promoted this video. And that helped it to go viral.
I think it's such a key thing to understand too. I think that's actually one of the biggest things people struggle with when they think dramatic demonstration is they don't realize like when you're an entrepreneur, that mentality affords to think like minimum viable product. You know, what's the fastest thing I can do to get it out the door as quick as possible? But like marketers have a totally different mentality where it's like, what's the loudest thing I can do? How can I make the most? There's no such thing as minimum viable really with marketers. It's like, I'm going to go big. I'm going to throttle hard. And that doesn't mean complicated or chaotic, but loud, you know, getting that attention. My favorite part of that bubble soccer thing was when you made the list of dream 400 YouTubers and the script was that you had to act like you were getting out of the car for each one. And I remember looking at you out the window and you got out of the, what's up, this is Russell Brunson, I'm just got this cool thing coming up, I want to invite you to, and you're like getting out of the car. You got out
times.
Of the car faked 400 times and I'm building 400 pages of the guy.
It was like every influencer was like, hey, what's going on, dude? Perfect. So excited to see you. Like, da, da, da. Yeah, like over. And I think the reason why I've been successful a lot of times is I'm willing to do what most people are not willing to do. You know what
100%.
I mean? Like, it was hours and hours of me doing that. In fact, it's funny because I think back about, man, this is pre-ClickFunnels, pre-anything anyone would even remember. But My brother just started with me as my video guy. We didn't have a video. We had just a camcorder that you could film video clips, or no, camera, a photo camera you could take videos on as well. And so same thing, I was doing a joint venture or trying to do a launch with JV partners. And so I had my brother stand there and film me do like 300 videos talking to each person. But what's funny about it is, again, this is, it's a little handheld camera, but we didn't have a tripod or anything. And so this is like his first day working for me. So he's standing there holding this camera, like start, stop. And like, I remember like after like 30 minutes, he's like, my back's hurting, my shoulders. I was like, sorry, man. Like we can't stop. Like we have to keep going. And so for hours, he's filming these things. And
keeping his arms up.
I feel so like looking back, if Scott, if you're watching, thank you again for sacrificing your body for this thing. And, but it was like 4 hours of that. Like after a while, like we're setting up books. He's like praying, put his hands on the books to like hold it steady, you know?
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, like I need to make enough noise that like, you know, people aren't going to listen to like a mass email to 400 people. Like, it's going to be a specific video, specific for every single person. Same thing we launched ClickFunnels. I did the exact same thing. We made those video cards, and I made a video for every single joint venture partner.
That's right.
Specifically for every single one of those things.
I forgot about that. Yeah. It's just a mentality. I think that's the piece people just struggle with. Is just they don't realize it's like, it's a different mentality than entrepreneur. Not, you know, and they work together, but one's kind of like the builder, one's the noise creator, and they're just so unique.
Yeah.
You know, one's like, I can just go do this in a cave. I'm going to build my offer. I'm going to sit in a cave. And I don't think you should do that, but you can build a whole product in isolation, but you really can't do it as a marketer. And it's a total, I know it's stupid, but sometimes I'll like take a hat off and put another hat on. I'm like, okay, I got to change mentality. Otherwise I let the entrepreneur mentality start to drive the marketing seat.
Interesting.
And that's when it gets dangerous. Cause I'm like doing minimum viable copy, minimum viable noise, and it just doesn't work that way.
That reminds me, as you said that, so this is a good example. So my book, I'm writing a book. I've been writing for like 5 years, so who knows if it'll come out. But check this out. So let me pull up here on Instagram. So I realized, I was like, if I'm going to do this book, like I need to make more noise and talk about it more often, right? But also it's like, if I can take my audience on the journey with me, like they'll be more likely when the book is done to want to buy it.
Yeah.
Instead of me being like, I wrote a book, like here it is. Like if they're like, they know nothing about the backstory, the pain, the anger, the anxiety, the stress, the fact I'm bleeding from my fingers to type this book, right? So I decided I was going to start documenting this journey, so I start filming it. And so I shared this inner circle, so you've seen it, but this is fascinating. So so I started this series on Instagram. So follow me on Instagram, you can go see it. And so I started in the very first one. So video one says, day number one of writing a new book and hopefully selling a million copies. So the very first one I posted, I got 43,000 views, which is not bad for a reel. Like not great, but for me, it's like, this is good.
It's great.
And then episode number two, I posted. So day two on writing a new book, selling a million copies, 42,000 views. So about the same, a little less, but it starts getting momentum. Then day number three, writing best-selling books, selling a million copies, 30,000 views. So still not quite there, but then it starts getting a little more traction. Day four, 25,000 views. And then day five, 49,000 starts growing. Then day number six, 192,000. Day number seven, 594,000. So I'm 7 days into this. This is me sharing this thing in a direct demonstration. It's like slowly, slowly, slowly starts picking up speed. So day seven, 594,000 people watch this video. Day number eight will launch, I think, on Monday. So about once a week, we're launching this little series. And think about this now. It's going to take me a year to write this book. So in a year from now, I'm going to have like, who knows, maybe 100 of these little episodes. I don't know if this trajectory will continue to go, but imagine like I'm doing these little mini, like it's a 60-second dramatic demonstration, right? Just here's writing the book. Here's the chaos. Here's the stress. Here's the thing I'm learning. Here's like whatever. Like a year from now, imagine if these videos are getting, I don't know, 3 million, 5 million, 10 million views. And then my book comes out. There's 10 million people who every single day for a year have been anxiously anticipating the launch of this book that's eventually going to come. And that's like, hey, my book's ready. Like, boom, New York Times bestseller in 5 seconds because I've been doing this journey long, right? And I think that for anybody, like instead of building your offers or your funnel or your course or your coaching program or anything in isolation, start sharing the journey. Like this is what I'm doing. This is why I'm doing. This is how. And just like start taking people on that journey.
Yeah.
And then when you get to the finish line, now you have the noise and the audience, all that kind of stuff. Versus like, okay, the book's done. How should I sell this? I get people come to me like, hey, I just created my course. I killed myself. It's done. What should I do? And I was like,
you missed it.
You should have started. Yeah.
missed it.
Build the audience first. Like that's the key. It's been actually interesting. As you know, my obsession now is like, how do I get traffic that's not like non-Zuckerberg traffic. Like,
Not Zuckerberg,
not where I have to pay him, right?
Yeah.
And so I've been doing a lot of interviews on the podcast talking specifically to people about that. And we had someone talked about Facebook groups, and their whole key was like how simple it was, how cheap it was to grow Facebook groups. I was like, think about this. If you're going to start a new offer, create a Facebook group and just start organically growing it and dropping, same thing, like dropping, here's what I'm doing. And all of a sudden, like in a month from now, 9 days from now, you have an audience now of 500,000, 2,000 people for almost no cost in this group now who are part of this process that you have an audience to sell to, right? Or whatever the thing might be. It's just like,
yeah.
Start that, the noise, like the creation of noise early so that when you're ready to make a lot of noise, like that, you know, the level of, I don't know how to explain this yet, but
it's waiting for you instead of you. Yeah. Like, dude, Barnum did the same. That's one of the biggest lessons I learned going through all these campaigns was he's like, a lot of what internet business owners will do is they'll be like, I finished my product yesterday. Therefore, today I'm going to launch it. And it's like, ah, darn it. You know, and they start emailing their list or they start posting. They start immediately approaching the traffic that they can control. But what Barnum did is he never talked to traffic he can like reach until step four. Like the first thing he always did was he'd always get credibility for the offer and involve another influencer. Always. Like, and I think that's a big key piece to it is like every single time he would go involve another influencer and then always involve the audience in the launch. You know what I mean? Like he would never ever launched in isolation. He launched with the audience, but always like, it's like a little carrot thing. Can't have it yet. Can't have it yet. Can't have it yet. It reminds me of,
interesting
dude. You remember, it's like 8 years ago. I was about to leave working for you. I was sad. And
8 years ago?
Isn't that crazy?
That's insane. I left insane.
Almost 8 years ago.
In my head, I was like, it was like 18 months ago.
So I know, it feels like it was last week, right?
That's crazy.
Nuts, right? A lot of times go by. But like the last project we ever did together was for Software Secrets. Do you remember that? I didn't know we were doing anything for them. And so 3 months before that, I was looking at different podcasts on software and I started listening to this podcast called Software Secrets. I was like, oh, sweet. And for 3 months, I mean, every time I'd mow the lawn or like fold clothes or whatever, lift, you know, anything, I would be listening to this podcast and they're like, all right, we got a crazy thing for you today. We're building our software and we're just documenting what's happening to us. We had a coder hold us hostage and we had to, you know, and they're telling this backstory. And then the next episode, they're like, and I'm binging it because I feel like I have to catch up now. And they're documenting them building the software. And there's this little feature. I remember in the top left, this one little feature was right there in the corner. And there, like, there was 3-4 episodes about how hard it was to get that little feature. And I remember I got to the very end of that show mad that it wasn't live yet because I was totally sold and ready to go buy. And then I remember I walked in and looked at your board and we were building. So I was like, this is them? Are you kidding me? And I was like the first guy to buy.
They're building all the anticipation before.
Yeah, yeah. He include the audience in the launch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like Hollywood.
So interesting that like, I feel like the market got lazy.
Yeah, a little bit.
Literally because of Facebook ads.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I can just flip a switch and people will show up. And it's like, that's getting harder and harder and more expensive. And again, more and more noise. It's like, man, the people who can engineer the stuff correctly ahead of time.
Yeah.
It's the key. And I started thinking about this, like, I was out visiting Andy Elliott yesterday. I think I told you, and I look at what their company's doing, and it's like they're posting 2 YouTube videos a day, 5 reels a day, all this kind of stuff. But they're not just like them, like sitting behind a desk, like, let me tell you 3 tips to whatever. You know, it's like it's very like these little mini dramatic little things they're doing to like get attention, to get you engaged, get you like I want like whatever that feeling I'm seeing, I want that, I need to feel that, like I want to feel that. You know what I mean? That's what they're just driving with over and over and over again. It's like,
yeah,
like if we start looking at everything we're doing as producers, as content developers, whatever you want to call yourself, a creator. It's just looking at like, how do we change this from scripted things to like experiences we're giving people? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
we're in an experience age. Like, someone asked me the other day, they're like, you know, information used to be the thing, you know, like in fact, when we bought Dan Kennedy's company, it was fascinating because they gave me like the newsletter they read every month for like 20 years. They also had a CD of the month club. And then people would pay an additional $97 to get a CD each month with an interview on it. And like, that was worth $97 a month back in the day. Which is, that's a podcast interview now, right? There's no value in that anymore. And like, courses used to be better, but like, and they asked me like, what's the difference? Like if information's now free, like what's the next, it was the information age, what's the next thing? And I thought about it. I think that there's 2 things. One is like, I think implementation is where money's at, help implement the ideas. But number 2 is education and entertainment and like getting people involved. So it's like, if you stop looking at what you're doing as anything else, like I'm trying to educate my audience, like, no. You're trying to entertain your audience. Like that's why they stick. That's why they pay attention. That's why they get on board. That's how they fall in love with you. That's when they show up. That's when they buy your stuff. And the people that are winning today at the highest level in our markets that I study, that I geek out on, it's those who are using this entertainment, engaging the audience. And that's the audience are like sucked into it, you know? So it's like thinking about it through that lens. And that's why P.T. Barnum, little P.T. here, by the way, they call him the greatest showman, right? That's the thought. Like, how do you become the greatest showman in your market where you're, it's not just running ads. Like, if you just put a billboard telling people that the circus is in town, it would not have happened, right? It's him creating these things that make it bigger. And I think that if we can all just look at through that lens a little bit differently, we're doing the same work. It's just how you are, the frame your mind's going to as you're doing those things. That's what makes a dramatic demonstration powerful. You know what I mean?
Did you ever read a book called, it's by Daniel Pink called, I think it's Whole New Mind or something like that. Nah. It was one of my design classes in college. They had us read it, and I've never forgotten his claim. His claim was that in the near future, because of tech and all this automation, so much of the left brain activities of our life will be automated. Therefore, the future belongs solely to the right brain thinkers. Isn't that interesting?
Wow.
The more creative people are really the ones who own the future, because all of the rest of it is going to be analog, automated.
But AI can't be, at least as AI is now, it's not creative, right? AI is,
you still have to be the input. You know what I mean? And so like, I think that's what's powerful about it is like, okay, AI and all this stuff is so powerful, but you know, I was trying to explain this to someone, actually on my own podcast. I was like, hey, like I love AI. It's really powerful. It's a step in the creative process, but never has the final say in it. However, you know, if I go ask like ChatGPT, hey, what are the 10 steps to start a business? It'll load like 10 steps out. But what it can't do is give me personal experience. By the way, watch out for step 3. That one's a beast. When I executed it, it was, you know. Yeah. So I think there's going to be, that's where it sits in. And I think it's where it overlaps with dramatic demonstrations is like, come with me while I show you my creative process, because the rest of the stuff is, the value of it's dropped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So fascinating. All right. I want to talk about what we're doing. We have some cool stuff coming up. The long-term goal is, which is not here yet, we're making a book about dramatic demonstrations, which is going to be amazing, right? Like, and you've seen the cover design. It looks so cool.
So good.
Yeah. I'm excited for that book and everything about it. But to do a book, and those who may not know this, like, I've written 3 books, working on book number 4 now. Book number 1, I wrote the book, hated it, deleted it, threw a 3-day event, taught the book, people went crazy. I from that to make some shifts, and then I wrote the book, and then it became .com Secrets. Expert Secrets, I wrote the book, hated it, deleted it, threw a 3-day event, did the whole thing, and then came back, and then that became the book. Traffic Secrets, I learned this time. I threw the event, and then I wrote the book. Much simpler process. I probably need to do my Secrets to Success event. Maybe that's what anyway.
It might be.
That's the thing I'm missing. But for us, that's the plan. We're writing this book.
Yeah.
We're going to do a 3-day event. But before the 3-day event, because... And obviously, it's going to be fun. It's going to be in your office. I'm excited to do a full event there, which would be cool.
Yeah.
And everyone should come to that. But prior to that, obviously, we want to provide value first. So we're doing, we're doing our own dramatic demonstration to talk about dramatic demonstrations. Get to come to the dramatic demonstration event, so you'll buy the dramatic demonstration book eventually. But the first one's coming up. And I don't even know, by the time this podcast drops, it's probably in a week or two, or, you know, it'll probably have coming really soon. Maybe it may already happen, and hopefully the replays are there. But there's a free event coming up. You want to talk about kind of what is going to be happening on that event and why they should go register for free at dramaticdemonstrations.com?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, like, you know, I think this is a cool thing too that you've really been teaching everybody about also is you can go use things of the past, you know, to go be dramatic about it. So yeah, we're doing a 3-day event. It's all about, the first is the 3-hour. I'm getting it mixed up.
3 hours free.
This 3-hour, it's a free one. Yeah, yeah. And we're going to go through and teach at a kind of a high level, really what all the dramatic demonstration, what it is. And then the next part is like really the copy. Like that's really where I think people get it messed up is again, they're acting like a salesperson when they should be a marketer, or they're acting like an entrepreneur when they should be acting like a marketer. And so it teaches those. And just like we teach, though, it's the ramp up process to the next thing, and then the next thing, and then the next thing. Yeah.
It's been cool. And I think for those who were at Funnel Hacking Live, they saw our presentations, like we're actually going to be showing those again for free, which is cool. So that'll give you guys the context. The very first year we talked about, we went deep into like launching Expert Secrets book and showing all that stuff. We talked about those kind of things and a bunch of other things, which was really cool. And for me, that was probably my favorite presentation I've given on stage. I came off stage, I was like, that was so much fun. It was amazing. So that was number one. And then year number 2, we switched more into the copy side of things. And so they're going to have a chance to watch both those presentations for free during this live event, which would be cool. The second one, like you said, we go more into copy. And there's a phrase that you use, which I think you nailed it with the phrase. What's it called?
It's called the offer hook.
The offer hook. So you're going to learn about the offer hook, which is cool, which is this is something you knew you brought to my thought and my, and you did it for a couple of my businesses now. We were talking about potentially even doing it today. We ran out of time, but doing it today for one of my projects I'm working on, but it's a really cool process. And those who are coming to live, you're actually going to be doing it for them as
one-on-one
offer, one-on-one.
Yeah.
So
one-on-one.
He'll build out your offer hook for you, which that's where $20,000 just by itself. But you learn about that during the free event as well. So yeah, both things happen. The free event's gonna be amazing. You guys just go watch it. And then here's the behind the scenes. We're gonna pitch you to come to the 3-day event at the end of it. But that's it. So yeah, either way, they get value, and you should come to the 3-day event because the event will be amazing. It's going to be a really small group. It's not going to be a ton of people there. It's going to be you with a really small group, people going through it. And then the fact you're building people's offer hooks is worth buying a ticket just for that.
It's a lot of work, but I love doing it. Yeah. It's always like, it feels like a jigsaw puzzle. And like, this is why you don't have leads anymore.
Yeah. It's really fascinating watching you do the process too. You've done it for me twice. And just watching the way your brain goes. Because for me, it's like, first, I'm like, why is he asking me these questions? This is so weird. And all of a sudden, like, you pop up, like, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, what the? Where did you pull that from? That is amazing. And so I'm hoping you're going to, I know you're going to be teaching that, how you do that in framework, but I'm sure it's a hard thing to teach. So the fact that they're going to have a chance the 3-day to learn it, but then have you just do it for them is like, is going to be special. So I'm excited for that. So, man, I'm thinking what else we need to cover. Dramatic demonstrations are fun, though. It's like, the thing that's number one on my mind right now is every campaign, every offer, every everything. I'm just like, how do we, what are all the big, you know, for me, it's like a webinar could be a dramatic demonstration. A challenge could be a dramatic demonstration, but videos are, ads are, like, so for me, it's like, what are all the different things we're doing out there to really create the noise to get people to buy the offer we actually want them to do? And so like, I'm glad that we coined this phrase, because at least for me personally, now it's like that whole team's like, what are the dramatic demonstrations around this? Like, yes, we got tons. Like, let's start throwing out the ideas. And then that's all the fun. We channel our inner mini P.T. Barnum.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to do that. So.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, remember there's a while ago you talked about, you know, the who, not the how kind of a thing. I think we're about to go through that as a market, because the more I've talked about dramatic demonstrations, it's been interesting to see who is like drawn to it versus who's like, ugh. And I think if people, you know, they watch or listen, they're like, I don't know that I'm really the person to go do that. That's okay. You know, find the who that is that's psyched about that. And I think there's going to be more of the true marketers to raise their hands coming up, you know, and like, I love that stuff. That'll be fun.
For sure. You got to become a student in this game to be.
Yeah.
It's the biggest thing I've learned the last 20 years is like those who become obsessed with the marketing of their thing do way better than those who are obsessed with the thing, you know? So be obsessed with both. Be obsessed with your product, the thing, but be more obsessed about the marketing. Because that's, if you really love the thing you're trying to sell, you should be obsessed with the marketing of it. Cause that's the fulfillment of the thing you created, right? Like without that, like there's no point in it. Like, you know what I mean? You create something no one knows about it, then what's the point of you even creating it? Like, why did you do it? And if you really love the thing you create, like you got to become obsessed with the marketing of it, because that's when you get to share the gift. And that's when all the benefits of creation come. You get to see it work on other people. You see it change their lives. You see like them have the ahas, you know? I remember listening to Ryan Holiday and he talked about how writing a book is like such a private thing, right? Same with creating an offer or whatever. It's like private. It's in your head. But then like the sharing is very public, which is why a lot of people get scared. For me, I remember writing the .com secrets book. I killed myself. Like that was my first, like in my mind, the first real art I'd created. You know, I'd done other stuff, courses and stuff. It was like, this was art for me. It was like, and it was so personal. I was so scared to share it with people. In fact, I remember I sent copies to a bunch of my friends. There's one friend it's Rich Sheffern. He's like one of the most voracious readers I've ever met. And I was like so scared for him to get it. Cause I'm like, this is my art. I don't want to share it. And then we're at TNC and he came to me. He's like, dude, all these people said they got your book. Like, can you send it to me? I'm like, oh,
what are you gonna say
I'm
about
scared
it?
Of you. Like, you're the one who could like destroy my soul in like one like negative review. And I had one there and he's like, can I take it on the flight with me home? I was like, yeah, man. So he took it and I was just like, oh, what if he hates it? Like then, and it's crazy. He read the whole flight home and he finished it on the flight and he texted me. He's like, bro, this is good. This is really good. And I was like, oh, you know, I think that's the thing is most people are so scared of like, what if my thing's not good? But it's like,
yeah,
man, like, but then when I got that feedback, like, this is good. Then I was like, oh, like so validating. Then I was like, I want to tell everybody in the world about it. You know what I mean?
That's how I feel about this book. Yeah. Yeah. I'm like, you're the Rich Sheffern. And I'm like, oh my gosh,
this better be good.
I know it's going to be a good book, but I'm like, man, like what if it sucks? You know?
No, well, but, oh, for sure. Yeah.
Oh man. I definitely feel that pressure with it.
It's going to be so fun though. I'm excited, man. It'll be great. I know just watching you iterate on these frameworks and stuff the last 2 years or so has been really cool to see. And I think
labor
it's
love.
A spot now where it's like, it's simple and replicatable where people can actually use it. And I think that's the exciting thing. So,
yeah.
And I think it'll be fun because we can share a bunch of stories from old dead people. I'm going to bring some of my favorites in as well. Like some of my favorite marketers are just watching what they've done, you know, reading what they did in the past is really, really cool. And then I'm going to bring a lot of case studies to the event of just like what people are doing right now. I've been watching, last 2 years, my eyes wide open watching everybody. So it's like, you know, I'll bring my swipe file of cool things people can look at and you can model in your business as well. So it's going to be awesome. I am pumped for the event. So those, again, who are watching this or listening to this, wherever you are, go to Dramatic Demonstrations,
plural,
dramaticdemonstrations.com. Go register for the free event, 3-hour event. You get the two, you'll be able to watch the two presentations from Funnel Hacking Live, plus a bunch of other cool stuff. And that, at the end of that, we'll invite you to come to the live event, the workshop, if you're interested, and come hang out with me and Steve in a really small room with a, you know, dozen or so people. It'll be intimate. It'll be fun.
It'll be intimate. Yeah.
You can't get that anywhere else. I don't do events like that anywhere else.
Yeah. I'm only gonna do it one time too. Yeah. It's like it'll be fun. Yeah.
It's gonna be amazing.
It'll be great.
Yeah, appreciate you, man. Excited to do this with you. It's gonna be awesome. And dramatic demonstrations, everyone. That's the key. That's the next step in your business, your journey. Make some dramatic demonstrations. Come learn how to do it live with us. And if you enjoyed this podcast episode, if you're listening on my podcast, please rate and review. Let me know how you liked it. If you listen on Steve, same thing. They should probably tell you how cool you are. And then go subscribe to his podcast if you're listening on mine, and vice versa.
Yep.
And I appreciate you guys listening. Any final words before we bounce?
Just excited to have you guys. It's gonna be awesome. I really think this is gonna be the final thing that helps people get their lead flow back up where it should be.
Yeah, it's gonna be awesome, man. Anyway, appreciate you. Thanks so much. And we'll see you guys all at the live event. DramaticDemonstrations.com. Let's go.